free, right to life and liberty. Open your eyes and you will see that America is still the land of the free.
Welcome to the Voice of Freedom, your national beacon of liberty. Now, here's your Voice of Freedom, Brent Johnson.
Radio frequency ID, the ability to track the activities of products and of those using products, and as the uses applied by the products, and who knows what else, I mean, with the way technology is going. This just came in. A South African company claims that it has invented a scanner that can read multiple radio frequency identification tags and pick them out from a crowd, allowing users to accurately locate objects among multiple targets. TrolleyScan says its new RFID radar-based readers are able to read tens of tags at a distance, allowing food manufacturers to use cheaper equipment and at the same time speeding up the rate of processing. The discovery will help food processors to speed up the supply chain process, cut down on errors, and find and track products in a warehouse quickly. Boy, that sounds like it's going to be a great thing, huh? Just so you understand, that particular story comes from foodproductiondaily.com that has a very vested interest in that perspective. But there are those who feel, and I will admit to being one of them, that this technology, like any technology, is a double-edged sword. It can do great things, good things, but it can also be abused, misused, and used to harm people. Joining me is Liz McIntyre. Liz is the co-author of Spy Chips, How Major Corporations and Government Plan to Track Your Every Move with Radio Frequency Identification. She and Catherine Albrecht have put this excellent book together. Liz, welcome to the show. It's really good to have you here. I'm really excited about this because I went through the book and I'm very familiar with the information. As a matter of fact, we're one of the people who was around early on with Caspian. We were already out there. And in reading the book, I don't think I've seen a better written compilation of not only what's going on, what its significance is, but who is really and truly doing it. Who are the people out there doing it? And before anything else, I want to start at the very beginning of this book. There is a C.S. Lewis quote, "We all want progress. But if you're on the wrong road, progress means doing an about turn and walking back to the right road. And in that case, the man who turns back soonest is the most progressive man." We are on the wrong road. And if that is so, we must go back. Going back is the quickest way on. There's a lot of wisdom in that, isn't there?
There sure is, Brent. And actually, as you said before, there are some good things you can do with technologies like RFID, but there are some very, very bad things you can do with it. And as you probably saw in Spy Chips, we pretty much out all of that information.
Absolutely. You most certainly do.
And of course, C.S. Lewis, he's talking here about we're moving down the wrong road. It's time to turn back. And we feel the same way about radio frequency identification. With some of the things that we found, big corporations like Procter & Gamble, Walmart, Gillette, Unilever, Kraft, and even the U.S. Postal Service planning to do, and the kind of technology that they've developed that could one day be used to track each and every one of us, we say, hey, keep it in your warehouses. Don't cross the line and put it on individual products where it can actually harm consumers.
Let's take it real basic here. Had you heard about that South African reader?
I am familiar with the company, and yes, there's been a lot of talk about that. I can't address that specific one, but there have been a lot of developments like that.
Well, that's the typical reason for why we want to do this. This is a great technology. It's going to help supply chain process. It's going to help reduce costs at the manufacturing level, at the distribution level. As a result, it's going to be passed on to the consumer. Everything's going to be more efficient. What's wrong with this technology?
Well, as long as the companies keep it in their warehouses, we are not going to be opposing that. Of course, there could be some health problems associated with the readers in those warehouses, but that's another issue. But once those microchips are placed on everyday objects that we purchase at stores like Walmart, we can be tracked by those objects by default. And I think to give some background to your audience as to why this technology is such a privacy nightmare, maybe they need to understand a little bit more about how that works. Of course, RFID stands for Radio Frequency Identification, and it's a technology that uses very small computer chips. Some of these chips are smaller than a grain of sand, to track items at a distance. And each of these chips contains a unique identification number, sort of like a social security number for things. And so no other product in the world would have that number. So today, where we have barcodes and say, you have a can of Coke, I have a can of Coke, it probably has the same barcode there. It identifies it as a can of Coke with a similar price. But in the future, envisioned by these major companies, every single product in the world would have a unique chip, a unique identification number. So your can of Coke and my can of Coke, you could distinguish between those two cans and know that you bought yours and I bought mine. And if, say, you find my can on the side of the road, you know that it came from me or at least originated from a purchase by me. And so that's the problem.
From Steve M., I saw it. He said, anyone here saw on the commercial on TV where the semi-truck driver is lost in the desert? The help desk contacts the driver and tells him that he is lost. The driver asks, how did they know? The help desk tells the driver that the RFID chips told the factory that they were lost. Is this for real? This is a commercial.
It actually is very much for real, and it's a very in-your-face commercial that points out, again, the privacy problems with the technology. Many of us wouldn't be bothered or so concerned about it because, you know, this is dealing with a commercial vehicle. But the same technology that allows an individual to find out where a load of products is on a highway can find out where we are on a highway or find out where we are in a store or find out what products we're interacting with and who we're interacting with in everyday life. You see, this technology communicates by radio waves. They're sort of like the radio waves that everyone is listening to us with here today, Brent. And just like those radio waves that travel through solid objects like walls and windows and, you know, our offices, those radio waves can travel through things like wallets, purses, backpacks, trucks, cars, and clothing, things we normally think of as protecting our privacy to some degree.
That gives me an idea. There is a device, I forget the name of the company, but the device is called a phaser, spelled like the Star Trek gun. And what the phaser does, and it's a completely legal device, you place it in the center of the windshield, and what it does is it takes the radar gun signal and reflects it and adds a chirp to it. The end result is somebody's got a radar gun, it's not going to read your speed unless you're going like 200 miles an hour. It's just not going to be able to do it. It shows up like a momentary glitch. It would seem to me that if it is as simple as that, why can we not just create a way of deflecting these things? Is there no way to shield radio waves?
Well, there are ways to shield radio waves. There are fabrics out there that can do it. Foil can actually shield radio waves.
We're all going to do the thing from the movie Signs with the aluminum party caps.
Right, the tinfoil hats. you know, it's true. It does. You know, just like those, how people take booster bags into stores to lift products off of shelves that have EAS tags on them, you know, they can do the same thing as with products with microchips on them. But the truth is, for everyday consumers who aren't going to be carrying around booster bags, those foil-lined bags, or don't want to be walking around with a roll of foil, there are some things that have been raised as possible precautions. Among those is a technology that you're just kind of describing there. It was called a blocker tag. This is a prototype concept created by a company called RSA Security. And what they're saying is that consumers could carry these tags on their persons, like pin them to a blouse or put them in a shopping bag, and they would actually confuse the reader devices, sort of sending them back a whole list of numbers so that no individual numbers could be identified in, say, a shopping bag or the shirt collar. But the problem with that is it puts the burden on the consumers themselves. And, of course, things like that can stop working.
No argument there. However, it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to have someone develop a countermeasure. And you're absolutely right. It's totally unfair that we should have to even do that. But it's good to know it's out there for those of us who are willing to do that.
Let me just say that that is just a concept. They're actually, we have never seen a prototype of that. It was something
that
was discussed.
But we will. We will.
We probably will. Yeah,
I have faith where there is a need. In chapter 10 of this book, the chapter is entitled, This is a Stick-Up. It starts out, you're sitting on the train reading the latest Tom Clancy novel when some sixth sense makes you look up. Two seats away, a man is peering down at the LED panel of his Palm Pilot PDA. He presses a few buttons, then aims it pointedly in your direction. Could a voyeur sitting across from you on the train really electronically frisk you? How close is that to a reality under this technology?
Well, actually, it's closer than we might imagine. One of the reasons this technology hasn't been moving forward as quickly as they would like is because of organizations like Caspian. Of course, I'm a member of Caspian. I'm the communications director, and of course, Catherine is the founder of that organization. And these companies are rightfully fearing a backlash from consumers. But behind closed doors in their company meetings we've attended, they are very excited about this kind of technology, and actually it's something that they could put to use pretty quickly. The only thing as far as price goes from holding them back is that the price of RFID tags has not come down enough so that these chips are in every item manufactured on the earth, which of course is their plan. I mean, they want every shoe, every shirt, every pair of pants, your wallet, your credit card,
your money,
your car, your money, every single item on the face of the planet, including one day, they hope, even packs of gum to contain one of these microchips. And in that day, actually this company called Accenture that's developed this technology you were just talking about, which they call the Real World Showroom, they're hoping that ordinary citizens can just take their PDA devices and just click away at their neighbors, their friends, their enemies, and actually get information about the things they're wearing and carrying. And, of course, we call that the pervert's best friend. You can just imagine what kind of a nightmare that would be to be walking down the street knowing that somebody could be standing in an alley clicking away to find out how much money you've got in your wallet or what kind of shoes you're wearing.
Shades of George Orwell. His 1984 is here. The book is available at all major bookstores and Amazon.com. The website is www.skychips.com. Earth Lover in the chat room. Brent, can you ask Liz about how her research fits into the plan for chipping of humans? Are they looking to chip humans with RFIDs?
Oh, absolutely. We have an entire chapter, in fact, on people tracking. The government's already used RFID externally to track people against their will. And we're actually looking forward to the day, perhaps, when each of us would be chipped. And what's really frightening is that former Secretary of Health and Human Services Tommy Thompson, just shortly after leaving his post with the Bush administration, joined the board of Verichip, the human implant company. And that's the company with those almost dime-sized diameter glass-encapsulated RFID tags that are implanted in the upper arm. And so he's talking about how great this technology would be on CBS MarketWatch about a month or so ago. We have a transcript of that on our website, by the way, at www.spychips.com. That's S-P-Y-C-H-I-P-S, spychips.com. And he's talking about how great it would be to replace military dog tags with these chips. And, of course, you're in the military. You try to say no to a chip. Well, you just can't. It's a court martial, right? So it's a frightening thing for them. He's talking about how it would be so great for all Americans to have one of these chips to deliver up their medical records in the case of an emergency. So they want this giant electronic database with all your medical information and this little chip with your unique number to connect to that information. So, yeah, the future is pretty frightening when it comes to chipping. And, of course, we found a patent by a company that's talking about even going further with that, Brent.
I'm looking at the patent application entitled Method and Apparatus for Locating and Tracking Persons. The surgical implantation of the tracking device deep in the body, and then another one by an inventor named George Vodin called the Method and Apparatus for Remote Monitoring and Control of Target Group.
Yes, and those are both very frightening. As we say in the book, we're not sure which is the worst application of RFID. They're both equally frightening and both pretty much could serve as enslaving devices. The one that talks about embedding the RFID tag deep in your body, like in your head, embedding it in your internal organs and in little pockets of your organs. We actually have a picture in spy chips that shows places in the female body they've suggested putting these chips, places where you can't remove them or basically you're going to die. These chips, in addition to serving as unique identifiers, supposedly can also come with accessories like microphones that can remotely broadcast your conversations and even electric shock devices. The people who applied for the patent on this actually talked about not only embedding these in, say, prisoners, which, you know, is going after captive populations is always the first way in to the mainstream, but they've also talked about putting them in people who work on corporate campuses. Can you imagine working for a company like, say, IBM and having to have one of these chips inserted deep in your body?
I just saw on Sunday watching football, you know, everybody's watching on football Sundays, and they had one of these IBM commercials, and it was all touting how the new IBM with the RFID, if you've lost yours, we can find it, and all that kind of garbage.
Right. They're really trying to sell this to people now. Actually, we found some confidential documents back in 2003 that talked about the PR steps they were going to take to get this technology implemented, because they found out that like 75% of people really hate this technology, and they full well understand that it could be used against them and probably would be used against them to track them personally. And so the PR people in the RFID industry realized they had a real problem on their hands. I mean, how are they going to get people to accept this technology when they're rightfully afraid of it? So they were kind of hoping to slip this into society and wait till it was everywhere until people would find out about it.
And then they've been doing it already, and they'll say, you see, nothing bad has happened, you see? And people are prone to accept what already is much easier. Yes, I know the syndrome. There are thoughts in the chat room that the chip battle is going to be a very rough one. Comment from Earth Lover, he made the other comment earlier. As for humans, it is already creeping into the debate. Military, criminal for sex offenders, and in ultra-chic clubs for the ultra-rich. Yes, I remember those also. There are some foreign clubs where the aristocratic, trendy thing is to get chipped and then walk around there as one of the special people.
Well, Brent, that's really interesting. Yeah, they try to make them feel pretty special, but actually you're referring to the chipping nights at the Baja Beach Club mm-hmm. in Barcelona, Spain.
That's the one.
And it's been described as a cross between Hooters and Spring Break the movie. It's a raucous beach atmosphere where, you know, you've got beach babes walking around putting whipped cream on people and that kind of thing. So basically they were pandering to these people saying, hey, you can be really special. You get one of these chips in your arm and you can get into our VIP champagne club. And not only that, you don't even have to bring a wallet. All you have to do is allow the waitress to scan your arm and you can pay for drinks. This is actually a payment application too, Brent, where it can actually be linked to a Visa card, for example, or a MasterCard. Yeah, it's pretty scary. It didn't go over too well, by the way. Not many people were foolish enough, even in that crowd, to go for it. But it's also progressed to come here in the States. And in the States, there's a club in Florida that actually had a chipping night. But all told, only about 50 people in the United States have been crazy enough through all these promotions to actually take chips while they're alive. With the dead, that's a different story.
I know you go into a brief discussion of what you found when you took some items with RFID chips in them and put them in the microwave. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, yeah, we felt like we owed it to the world to figure out how do you kill these chips.
And yeah.
Some people said, hey, you just overload them. You put them in your microwave. Well, we took some of these with these tags and put them in the microwave and figured, wow, you know, we'll be conservative 10 seconds or something. Well, these things burst into flames. So even at a short time, like even 3 seconds, these things just totally... There's a big burn mark across them. We have pictures in the book. And these were chips that were just on paper separated from an item. You can imagine what would happen if you try to put your pants or something in a microwave. It's not a good idea, and it's simply not safe.
So what should people do? Now, I'm one of these people who I'll take the not-so-safe route if the item itself does not have separated metal pieces and if it's not like something very, very big. I would take money, for example, and put it inside the microwave. It's okay with me if it gets a little bit soiled or something like that, as long as I can still read those serial numbers. But all in all, it's not going to be practical,
right,
as it gets into so many things, some of which do have separated pieces of metal, like razor blades and such. So what do you do? What do you do if you end up getting something that you're not sure if it has an RFID, or you are sure it does have one? What do you do?
It's very hard to find them, first of all, and we've asked for labeling. We don't believe that we should ban RFID. We believe the free market should make the decision on that. So we've asked for labeling legislation, and the idea is that people should really vote with their dollars and not buy items with RFID tags. Avoid stores like Walmart, for example. They're the 800-pound gorilla pushing this technology on all the little guys who really want nothing to do with it at this point. So we have to vote with our pocketbooks, and we have an entire chapter in this book devoted to solutions. And by the way, this stuff is really, really scary, but there are things as consumers that we can do. Just 2 weeks ago in Dallas, we had a huge protest. Over 70 people showed up, and we still have people going out to Walmarts every day, believe it or not, individuals going out and holding up protest signs and alerting the public. We need to tell the public about what's happening so they can get educated. As a group, if we all vote with our dollars, we can make a huge difference, and companies will have to listen to us. And so the first step, I think, is getting this book, Spy Chip. Really, you need to educate yourselves about what's happening, what these big companies are planning. It's unbelievably scandalous information that you need to share with your family, your friends, your neighbors, your churches. Buy an extra book for your lawmakers. buy a book for your family, great present, get people educated. If we all band together, then we can put a stop to this technology. We really believe that. Join us at Caspian. We have a free newsletter at www.spychips.com, and go there and you can get more information. Brent, I'm hoping that people will realize while this is scary, there are some solutions.
And welcome back. Is it science fiction? Is it reality? Well, it seems like it's much more reality today than science fiction, which is what it was yesterday. We're talking about radio frequency identification. It's here, it's real, it exists, and once technology is created, it can never be uncreated. My guest is Liz McIntyre, co-author of Spy Chips, and you need to get this book. It's available everywhere. Major bookstores, Amazon.com. More information on it, go to www.spychips.com. And from Nactor in the chat room, I used to use their razors, presumably Gillette. When I heard this crap, no more money from me. Yeah, I now use Schick. And if Schick did it, I would find something else. And if necessary, I would go back to a strop and a razor. If that's what it takes, I'm willing to do that. What are you willing to do to preserve your privacy and your freedom? And that's the whole thing. I'm willing to go low-tech. And that may be the solution, to get people to go back to low-tech and stop being so focused on high-tech for everything they do. Let's go to Canada. We have Janos, who's been on the line for a while. Thank you for waiting, Janos. You're on with Liz McIntyre, the topic RFID. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Brent Johnson. I would like to ask a question about how can we protect ourselves against these spy chips and how to reprove them, not to be scared and to instruct others and say, well, don't be scared. You should know about these things.
Excellent questions, Liz.
That is an excellent question. And one thing that we've done with spy chips, the book is actually a really good read, isn't it, Brent? It's one of those things you can pick up in an airport bookstore and read in a day, and it's really fun reading. So while the topic is very serious, it's very engaging.
At times it's fun. At other times, you just have to turn the page because you cannot believe how outrageous this is, and you have to see if they're really doing this. So you have to see how far they're really going with this, and then you go to the next page, and you come out of there, and it's not exactly fun some of the time.
That's really true, but it is helpful to have a book that people can actually read. It's not an academic tome. So
it's very readable. Absolutely is. And I think it's magnificent.
Yeah, so Janos, that's one good thing. You could give this to your friends and family, and they're not going to be looking at something they cross-eyed. They're going to actually hopefully have a little bit of fun, get a little scared, but also get some good information there. The other thing is that we have lots of pictures in the book, which is good, so you can kind of see what these things look like so you can identify them and not get them confused with EAS tags, the article surveillance tags that really don't contain a unique identifier. The other thing we've asked for, Janos, it's really, really important, is labeling. We don't ask for this technology to be banned. We simply believe consumers have a right to know when they're buying a product if it contains a tracking device. And several states have considered legislation. I'm not sure what's actually been done in Canada, if anything, with that. But people need to call their lawmakers and say, hey, we really want to get some labeling legislation going. They can contact us at Caspian. That's www.spychips.com. We have something called the RFID Right to Know Act, which is model legislation for that purpose. And we believe that if people know that there are tracking devices and products, these RFID tags, they will switch brands and they'll switch stores, frankly. So I think that's the biggest crowbar we have in this fight is our pocketbooks and knowing that companies rely on our dollars to survive.
Thank you, Janos. Thank you so much. From Old Storehead in the chat room, my microwave book says for small items to put in a glass of water along with them. It soaks up a lot of excess energy. I cooked a piece of wire once with a glass of water in the microwave, and all it did was glow. Without the water, it was plumb ugly to watch. That's an interesting tidbit there. Oh, one more in here. Let's see, Earth Lover. It should also be pointed out to everyone that chips not only send out information allowing tracking, but can receive signals and images affecting humans on unseen levels. That's one of the frightening things about having these things put into a human. If it's radio frequency, it's a two-way street. So we know Gillette. Now, like I say, I stopped using Gillette products as soon as I learned that. But I did not know until I saw this book that that included Oral-B and Duracell.
Yeah, we have a whole list. Actually, we have a boycott site for Gillette at www.boycottgillette.com. And there we list a whole host of products.
Procter & Gamble. We've got Max Factor. We've got Crest, Cascade, Tide, Clairol, and a whole lot of other things. Walmart, of course, is one of the big offenders. Over in England, there's Tesco. Tesco has DVDs and consumer goods for sale in stores in England. And apparently, they're using the RFIDs in violation of a call for a moratorium. They're claiming the tags are disabled at the point of sale, and it's not the case. Is that going on?
Well, at that time, when Catherine visited one of the stores in Germany, actually, at the Metro Extra Future store, the supposed deactivator devices weren't working. And, of course, she also found out that this Metro Extra Future store had hidden RFID tags in the consumer loyalty cards called the payback cards. And consumers got really upset. They protested. And the store was forced to recall 10,000 of these remotely readable cards because they had not given any notice to people that they could be tracked through these cards in their wallets and purses.
But once they do that, I could never trust that they didn't still have them on the shelves, no matter what they said.
Well, yeah, and that's the problem, because there is no labeling. Frankly, I consider myself an expert in this technology, and I go to stores all the time looking for the technology. And I could walk into a store and completely miss a whole row of RFID-tagged items because there is no requirement for labeling. But I will tell you, if people want to see some live RFID tags in a store, go to Walmart. Don't buy anything at Walmart, please, because we really advise against supporting that store. But if you go into Walmart, right now in their electronics departments in many of the stores across the United States, their Hewlett-Packard printers, there are three varieties that have RFID tags on them. The way you can tell is there's a 3x3 proof of purchase label slapped on them that looks like any ordinary label, but in the upper right-hand corner it says EPC, which stands for Electronic Product Code. And underneath there you'll find a butterfly-shaped RFID tag. We've also found them in Walmart's on Lexmark printers, that's a spinoff of IBM. And we've also found them on Sanyo TV sets.
We'll definitely look for them. I want to very quickly run down this list of companies. Metro, Kraft, Nestle, Johnson & Johnson, Henkel, P&G, Gillette, IBM. Oh, IBM's a real big one. And there are others to watch. Abercrombie & Fitch, Marks & Spencer, Levi Strauss, Ameripride, and Cintas Uniform Companies. The book is Spy Chips. The topic is radio frequency identification and your privacy. My guest has been Liz McIntyre, co-author. It's a big topic and it's just a small show. I think I'd like to have you back and do it a second time and pick up on some of the things we couldn't address this time, Liz.
I'd love to. Just give my publicist a call. In fact, I'll email him now and tell him to give you a call back.
Excellent. The book is available at all major bookstores and Amazon.com. The website is www.spychips.com. Liz McIntyre, thank you so much for spending this time with us, and good luck with the book. It's a great, great book.
Thank you for listening to this edition of The Voice of Freedom. Opinions expressed are those of the host and do not necessarily reflect the views of Truth and Freedom Radio Networks, Freedom Broadcast Group Incorporated, or our sponsors. For more information about your freedoms and liberties, or to contact Brent, just log on to our website at www.freedomradio.us or call 1-888-385-3733. Join us next time for another lesson in liberty on The Voice of Freedom.
America, land of the free, right to life and liberty. Open your eyes and you will see that America is still the land of the free.